It's June 10th, 7 o'clock. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Rodriguez is He's coming fine. In. Walter?
Here.
Chacon?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
Dennis is absent. Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
And Hedman?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. So, visitors, we have Carol
Kicker.
Kicker. Who's interested in a seat on the board? Mm-hmm. And, sorry.
Aaron Stokel, Rorson.
Okay, great. Glad to have you. Let's see, and we have Dixie from the library staff. Okay, there. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just such an old bitch. It's okay.
I'm sorry.
I just come with the building. Judy's
everyone. Judy's everyone. So, let's see. So, my apologies.
It's okay. It really is okay.
Do we have any amendments to the agenda? I don't think so. All right, can everyone take a look at the minutes and the minutes?
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Do we have any correspondence?
No.
Any public comment? Any staff comment? Yeah. Let's see. Can we have the report of the treasurer?
Sure. 1 month into our fiscal year, and everything looks great. We have a little bit of revenue. I really like that we have some development fees, like $9,000, almost $10,000.
Very nice.
So, which is a refreshing change from years past.
Yes.
And last month, Elisa had talked about there being some repairs to the board, the alarm. So I expected to see it on here, but they haven't gotten the parts that they have built. So.
Mm-hmm. $7,000.
So be prepared.
Well, we budgeted for a little higher this year for that.
We had 3 payrolls this in May, so that's higher.
So is the one thing that's listed on page 1, the 4 imprint promotional library, is that the stuffers?
No, that's all the promotional items, the cup, the frisbee, all the marketing giveaways that we're going to do. I wanted it to be on
the revenues are on track at 8.6%.
It's because everybody's going to pay their first payment tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Due tomorrow.
Is it?
It is.
I'm going to have a baby going. Be out of my butt.
Payable at $36,536.70 and payroll at $57,162.07 for a total disbursement of $93,698.77.
Second.
Roll call.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Tedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Report of the director.
I just want to point out a few items from my monthly report. Like we said, the chiller was not working properly. They came out, it was four-hour minimum. He was here not even an hour. At $250 an hour. So it was over $1,000, which included $80 for travel time. So I wrote a complaint letter because they never came out to do our spring maintenance. The account person that was vacant left, and our account was never followed up with. But he even pulled all the emails that I had sent asking for the follow-up. So he said because of its union, he couldn't waive more than, he waived $447.20 off of our bill. So we'll pay the complaint. We need the new chiller part. The old part is 13 years old. Price is $7,119. So I asked Darren to approve that so we can get the part of it. So the part is supposed to be in order. We've got a couple of the special event now is summer reading program. The theme is at Showtime. It runs June 1st through July 31st. We're also having a multicultural theme for Friday Story Times that include Norwegian, Spanish, African, and Ireland stories. And all the storytellers are volunteers, including one of our staff members who lived in Africa for a long time. Working with the Park District and Julie, they have the patio area prepared for the Boy Scout project set for June 15th. So Jeanette and I both will be here on Saturday. An eye out on what's happening. After months of fighting with Konica, we got reimbursed for the microfilm part that did not work and received a check for over $1,900, and that was only after I threatened to contact corporate. Currently, I finished it. I submitted a grant for $500 on financial literacy, and I'll know Friday whether we got the grant. What we plan to do with the money is have children a story time for the book club, the first and second grade book club. One of the books will be one off of a list of age-appropriate books like Bears and Bears, Mom Gets a New Job, or Saves for a New Toy, or Financial Literacy as a theme. And then for adults, we're going to have a program on how to live on Social Security. And what we plan to do with that is have a breakfast here in the morning and market it to the seniors next door and the assisted living centers around where they can bus in their people for that. And then we're going to have an evening program on how to prepare for retirement. So the $500 we'll get, we don't get the money until after we show that we did the programs, and that's the same as the Google grant will be reimbursed for. I think we've got a good chance. I'll go Friday.
So, did your facility managers group, did you?
Oh, I didn't mention. Oh, we we had, it was interesting, we had the group meeting, which is a quarter of the Northwestern Library, and one of the categories we were talking about was electric doors. And as it turned out, our doors broke that day. So at least I had the company name up to the contact. So I did, and I came out the next day. So I think we need to get a maintenance contract on the electric door. But in talking to them about our HVAC issues, what their advice was that we should really push to get a maintenance contract with Trico. But from the history of what I understand, filled me in, but at one point we were asking them for a contract, but it was like $10,000 or more. But something happened. I mean, we've had Trico out a couple of times already since, because every time there's a power outage, they have to come out and reset it. I mean, at least now I can look at the computer and see where the alarms are, but you know, he has to open the case and reset all the settings on the boiler. But something's wrong. I mean, it's either boiler one we just had repaired, boiler, you know, it's back and forth on those. It triggers alarms. I don't know what the solution is other than maybe we get an outside company to come and evaluate our equipment.
What about with the city, the new maintenance person that was going to be overseeing?
I talked to Bart about that. He's only part-time with Yorkville, and he's part-time with Oswego. So only if it's an emergency, like when we had that power outage, can I call on him to help us.
I'm just saying, could he review our setup and make a recommendation? About
I don't, honestly, I don't think he has the time to do that. I think
okay.
We need to get an outside. I got contacted yesterday by a mechanical, I got an email from a mechanical contracting company that's looking for business. So, you know, I can follow up and see, will they do an evaluation? Come out and do an evaluation.
Maybe like an engineering firm?
It is an engineering, mechanical engineering. They specialize in HVAC and plumbing.
So what would our goal of having an engineering firm review it? I mean, to make recommendations on different equipment, or, I mean, because an engineering firm...
They should be able to assess the equipment to see what the lifespan, expected lifespan is. It's oftentimes, the equipment was never installed properly.
Right.
Or commissioned.
Okay.
So it could be running inefficiently for the life of the building. No one would ever know.
Another problem is the fact that maintenance should be done like three times a year. And
right.
Push back only once a year, so things were not maintained. The chiller part that went out was 13 years old. Because I was trying to ask, did this happen because we didn't get the spring maintenance? And he said, no, it's the wear. It's an old part.
And now I remember in the past, Trico's the only company that would work on the equipment, right? Or
it's the only one we've ever had.
But I remember there being an issue in discussion that...
That was with the air handler.
With the air handler,
yeah,
okay.
With the Dakin
with
equipment.
The Dakin. Okay. Got it.
We need to try again. We need to try again because it's...
I know. See what... Mm-hmm. I like what you said about what they said to see. It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
It's nice thing to see the issues.
I mean, I'll contact them and see what their services
what
are. Can, you know, can they do that?
Right.
You know, as a consultant, come in and give us an evaluation.
But the only thing I was thinking of is if we pay an engineering firm to do it, I mean, it's going to be pricey, whereas if we can find somebody that would willing to be doing maintenance on the equipment, you know, other than Trico, if there's another company out there that we could do a maintenance contract with, we could probably get them to at least look at it and make some recommendations at no cost if there's an opportunity for a maintenance contract down the road.
Good point.
Rather than going directly to an engineer.
Okay.
So.
Didn't the city have an engineering firm go through a couple years ago and assess all the property?
They never showed up, though.
Yeah, and then they charged us all a bunch of
money. Tried to.
$40,000 and never showed up.
They did or they didn't come to the room?
They never came here.
It should only cost a few thousand. We do these in the city, it's like they'll do a whole, like a big school,
right?
Like 2 days. But
Well, would you know the name of the company if I forward the name?
Yes, you can send it to me.
I'll send it to you. Tell me if you've heard of that before.
But yeah, you know, usually it's like a design for, but they'll come out and they may bring the rep, like the equipment out, like a thermal systems person. And so, but they'll go through the equipment and you're trying to decide, like in our case, we were trying to decide if something should be replaced now or like 5 years from now. So it looked really bad, but it actually was fine. It just needed some new parts. So here, I don't think we have much, that much equipment. I've not been in the mechanical room for
a lot of stuff in there. You wouldn't want to spend much time in there.
I would.
We might not.
Stop. Yeah. But it's,
call, I mean, it's,
let me know if you want to come by. I'll let you out. We won't let you out.
it's excessive, but normally a building engineer would do with a recess. So I don't know what the situation with the city is, but it's odd to me. I think of this as a city building. So an emergency would be the power going out. Anytime the power goes out, the equipment should shut down. That's a safety feature. And the reset's done by someone trained to do it, so you don't ruin your equipment, but you're having to pay that $1,000 a time.
Well, it's at one point about an hour, and he's been sending two people. And I said, why do you have to send two people? And he says, it's convenient.
Send two people to reset something that went off because of the electric switch? I guess we must have custodians who know how to do that, because there's no way we call at the school district. Every time we have power outages all the time, it feels like, sometimes. And our custodians get them right up and going. And that's why I was like, why can't we share this person?
Be a building engineer.
Yeah, somebody who works for the city rather than works for the manufacturers of all of these different parts, charging us at outrageous rates.
Well, at the very least, I think that's why we have an opportunity, if we can find another vendor willing to service that, to find somebody who's more willing to at least get that rate down. And I mean, if there's somebody local even that wouldn't necessarily be charging us like a trip fee on top of a 4-hour minimum on top of two bodies to flip a switch.
Yes.
You know, that person could make recommendations as far as the life of the equipment, as well as get us some more pricing on maintenance.
That's a major priority.
It is.
Because we are spending way too much money on every service call.
Every month.
Well, I've gotten tracked that not to charge us whenever, you know, I tell them, I said, I can't. So one of the guys came up on watch out.
So are you
going to
send them the information CV?
Okay. All right. Let's see. City liaison here. I don't believe we had any standing committees meet. Unfinished business. Digital sign. Aaron.
That's me.
You're on deck.
So last we spoke, I proposed two designs, both of them within city ordinance. I guess I kind of call that pre-approval. Those are shown on sheets. My reference sheet number is kind of towards the center of the design, right next to the drawing number and right before the date. Sheets 1 and 2 you'll recognize from last month. And the other two sheets, you'll see the electronic message center up higher on the sign, and the sign itself higher for our discussion and recommendations from meeting last month. The great news is by balancing the materials that we manufacture the sign from, prices were essentially unaffected. It does change the aesthetics a little bit, but assuming you like the new option, the new layouts, that will give you the 2 extra feet of height, particular raise above some current landscaping traveling from the south direction to the library.
The last two are the new?
The last two are the new. So the sheets mark 7 and 8.
Okay, 7 and 8.
Oh, I'm like, I'm in need of some glasses, and I'm in denial, so...
Well, they're more easily contained by the electronic message center being higher on the sign above the logo.
I can tell that, yeah. I have like three pairs at home. I don't travel with them quite yet. I'm not there yet. I will accept soon. Fully accept.
This is new one. Top two are new.
You don't like the commercial.
They grew in height, and the EMCs are now on top above the logo versus below.
It's really been
so that's two, three.
Okay.
This is original.
You want to try this?
Yeah, the logo is above.
I have the dollar ones.
Those are dollar ones.
So the two with the logo at the bottom
of the
name.
Yeah.
I mean, you got it.
Okay.
But thank you. Your originals.
My friend was like, that's good. 40 glasses.
Okay. Okay. So technology is the same. Electronic message center. The video board section is exact same as discussed last time. Sheerly a aesthetic preference of reorganizing some of the offerings in the sign, as well as making it taller. Now, does this fall in sign ordinance as it stands right now? Mm-hmm. By the book, no. We have received some kind of soft confirmation that the city will review. Obviously, you understand this is for the library. Once there's acceptance to be made, they look positive. Okay. So we receive a sign, approved sign permit, it wouldn't be allowed.
The height.
And how does the school get away with the sign being so high?
I hadn't reviewed that code yet, but it could be another.
District 1 is high.
I'm not sure when those were put in. Sign ordinances rarely change. They don't change all that often, but they can change.
Yeah.
And there's variances as well, too. I haven't done any research into surrounding signs, but that's a very valid question.
I think that sign's been there since the high school was built.
That one is very different. It's only on a pole.
Yeah.
But they made the Park District one more like it has brick around it, and it's probably following this newer ordinance. And it's not that close to the ground, because when you're driving...
Yeah.
It's above eye level so that you can see it nicely as you're driving.
Sure.
And I pass it almost every day. That's why I was like, it might be nicer for this one to look kind of like that and to be a little higher.
Sure.
I've got a picture of the Park District one.
So, what happens after a power outage?
What happens? It'll automatically, good question. Yeah, based on the earlier discussion, it's a great question. It'll automatically restart.
Okay.
That's assuming the power is coming from this building. Not
no, it's coming from City Hall.
Sure. It's meant for it. Obviously, there's breakers in there and whatnot. It's meant to stand the test of time. It's meant to be installed at the same power you guys are supplying to it. It's meant to be outside.
Okay.
And, of course, it's meant for electrical failure from time to time. It'll boot back up.
Okay.
So it'll boot back up without us doing anything.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You just got to flip that 480 breaker.
Oh, yeah.
So are all the white parts acrylic on 7 and 8?
7 and 8, the white parts are aluminum painted that lighter gray color. Okay. As of right now, is to match the building colors. All colors are either having to do with the logo itself right now or the building materials and colors of the current building.
Got it.
The other question is whether we want the numbers on the sign.
Yeah, I was looking at that 902.
Yeah.
I kind of like that one.
I like that one.
Do you?
Yeah.
That one. Sorry.
This one, I'm officially
the one with the curved top.
Boring
We just need the 90210 on it.
Well, we did just 902. Do we want Game Farm Road on there?
No, I would just do
902. No, I think the number, everybody knows around Game Farm is just like, which one is 902? What, wasn't there, I think we had talked about something being on the side?
Yeah. Or where?
Like the number could be on the side versus being on the top? No?
Sure. I think that would have worked well on the lower signs, the original two.
Okay.
The newer signs have a little more real estate on them, being that those are raising the air a little bit more. So this is an option as well, too. You'll notice, obviously, the first two options had pretty apparent flanking brick columns on each side, which have kind of suggested a nicer area for that to keep your logo nice and clear. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you did prefer, and it sounds like you do, design 8, that would be a fantastic candidate to put the 902 on the roadside column, those sides.
It's under 20.
Not currently shown. But.
Right. Like, if we chose that one, we could always put on the side of
100%.
It, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
But it looks good on the top of this rounded one, too.
Mm-hmm. So it could be on the pulp inside here.
Correct.
There was a discussion also with the park board wanting to help us with this.
Mm-hmm. Then they would want their name on it too.
Oh.
Would they?
Yeah.
I'm sure they would.
Don't.
I would.
I mean, it's in front of the library, though. What are you going to put? Yorkville Public Library and Parks? I mean...
Mm-hmm. They're right next door. On Beecher.
I know Beecher is, yeah.
Well, it was suggested by Tim that he would help us with the cost of the sign.
No, I understand. I understand.
We don't have any, you know, we don't have any details about what... Yeah.
What it is,
whether it's just helping us with this, with the cost and... You know, sharing content on the sign. Maybe we get, we share their content on our side and they can share our content on their sign.
I think that would be kind of the idea, and we wouldn't ask for the library to be put on the 47 sign.
No,
I think it's fair that this is the library sign and we'll share content, but I don't know that we need to put both names on
I don't think so. I don't think there's room for both names.
No. Mm-hmm.
And it would confuse people.
Right. Because this is not Park District.
Right. It's not the park board.
And even if you put it in front of Beecher, that's not necessarily...
That's not the library.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think one of the other questions we had last month was also about the size of the actual display. Is that regulated by city ordinance as far as the digital portion of the sign?
Correct. There's a ratio to obtain.
Okay.
The smaller one does meet that requirement. The larger one, of course, would as well, too. We're a little over our square footage here. But again, we've kind of received some positive feedback from the city, as many do. We kind of suggest that we submit, and they'll consider it that time.
Over on square footage as far as the portion of the digital sign versus the physical sign? Or
the physical sign is the overage. Basically, the difference between the two is the gray area.
Yep.
We've obviously raised it up and added a little more brick real estate to kind of get it off the ground a little bit better to be seen, which will obviously count towards that square footage of what the city calculates.
So they want to minimize white space on the sign? Or what's the ordinance, the ratio? Is it a lower limit, an upper limit, or?
No, off the top of my head, and I should have that, I had that last week. Off the top of my head, and I can do quick math here, but at 310 by 83, you're basically a 4x8, so you're looking at, don't quote me on this, 45 square feet, and the EMC typically can only be 30% of it. Again, don't quote me on it. I work with a lot of cities every single day, so.
It's on a recording, so we will
quote. Yeah, you're officially quoted. No. But my point is, would there be, if we went with the larger signage, would there be an opportunity to look at making the digital portion of the sign any larger, or?
That would intensify the price.
Yep.
But that's always up for consideration. Okay. That would actually be up to the city as well, though, to consider that.
Yeah.
Right now, we're kind of asking for one kind of flex on the rules, that'd be asking for a second, but that's not my determination. That'd be theirs.
What's the one flex we're asking for? That ratio or the overall size?
The overall size.
Okay, got it.
It's bigger than that.
So everything with all these signs is in compliance, except for the last that we've given is a touch over square footage, but we're not asking for more signable area.
Got it.
Right? We're increasing it for visibility purposes.
Okay.
And I mean, if it's only a little bit, couldn't that be tweaked a little? Like the... So the one, let's see, this is 2.9, and then what is this, another foot 5 inches or something like that before you see the sign?
You look at the flat top or the round top?
The flat top. It's almost 4 feet before the sign, from the ground to the bottom of the sign.
Correct.
Versus the other one.
Yeah. Is the current electric that's going there on a 20-amp circuit right now? We
asked that last week. We have to check with the city because they fixed that for it.
Mm-hmm. In my experience, it's very likely that anything can happen. 20 amp is a standard, kind of industry standard, if you're going to run something to a sign, an external exterior or something like that. It's usually at least a 20 amp.
Okay.
What's the maintenance Is there a maintenance contract for the digital part?
In our experience, we don't offer a maintenance contract just simply because it's not of value to the customer. There is obviously, of course, warranties involved with it, but there's nothing an annual or quarterly upkeep involved or required on it.
And what is the warranty usually on this one?
1 year parts and labor. Life expectancy on the EMC itself, I've seen them for a lot of high school, they're just about 15 years old. In all my experiences, you're looking right between the 12, 10 and 13 year range. They're about 2 years above and beyond in that particular site.
And
so after the 10 to 13 years, can we just replace?
Yeah, that's my question.
Absolutely.
Digital, thank you.
Absolutely. Referencing the same sign, you'll actually see that down here fairly soon over at the high school. I know it's a little jog away, but it's a prominent sign out there, mm-hmm. Robonzi High School. That sign design was actually revamped and designed for future replacement.
Okay.
And this sign is color.
This sign is full color. Yes, ma'am.
As you've driven around Yorkville, are most of the digital signs that you see, like on 47, are they about this size? I mean, there's one on Salmonok in 47. It's down in a hole.
Which one?
But it looks the law firm.
Oh.
Right on the northeast corner.
And then you've got Batso's, too.
Yeah.
Really way out.
And then there's the church out on 34 by Linwood. Which could blind you at night.
I know, that thing is a light.
Yep.
Epileptic.
Which sign?
By the white building church out east of 47 on 34.
It's
on the north side. I think they were told to tone it down because it was very, very bright for a very long time. I think it's Linwood Church or something like that. It's on the north side. But I think they're all about this size.
If they're in compliance, and I don't think Yorkville's changed their ordinance recently on these, if they're in compliance, and I'm sure they are, because the city sounds like at least it was about the right one.
All right.
Then all those ratios are maintained and likely very similar in size.
No.
I like the height on.
So they're easy to read.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to put, you're not going to put a Bible verse or a book page on the sign for somebody to read. That's only going to be looking at the sign for 10 seconds,
right?
If that.
Right.
And then the same
price.
3 or 4. All right.
All right.
Can I ask if we're ready for to approve it or?
Okay. How's the board feel about approving?
We have to vote on the sign.
Yeah. Which one?
So definitely that we're not doing 1 and 2.
No.
So it's between 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Votes for this one.
What number?
Okay,
that's four, seven.
Oh,
four. It's seven.
So let's take a vote. All right, so there is number 7 with the 902 on the front. We're on the top.
Yep.
I guess we doing all in favor? Okay, all in favor of number 7. Raise your hand.
Yeah, sweet.
Okay.
That's
makes
design.
It easy.
That would be the design. Number 7. Okay. All right. So then, now that we know that, let's have half the battle. Okay. So does the city still have to review this, though,
mm-hmm.
before
yeah.
we? So we can vote on this.
Because we might get feedback from the city about height. We might have to
vote
on a new design.
Yeah.
We might have to lower things. Because this one is actually the taller one.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
which one is this?
Which is the one?
So worth noting, so I was getting out of so you look at it. On the second page, there's a highlight that says sheet 3 or 4. That should be 7 or 8. That's your new one.
Okay.
The two new options are the most recent proposal.
Okay.
That is my mistake that I realized.
So then we are going with 7. But the instruct everything
so
else
the cost
is the same.
Is the same.
Right.
This requires a roll call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're spending money if it's even a dollar.
Exactly.
It requires a roll call.
That's a lot of dollars. That's a lot.
All right. So I guess I will make a...
I think the record also needs to show that the money is coming from a donor and it's not from taxpayers.
Okay. Then I'll make a proposal that we adopt sign number 7 from Aurora Sign Company for $24,994, which is coming from a donation. I'll make that proposal.
And I'll second that pending city approval of the design.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Forrestal. Garcia.
Yes.
Edmund.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Walter.
Yes.
Chacon.
Yes.
Crawford.
Yes. Okay. Great.
Thank you for your work.
Yeah. Thank you. Just sign the proposal to get the ball started.
Absolutely.
And does that mean or is that the one?
Whoever's more comfortable, put that pen to paper. works the same thing.
Alright. So it's just the sheet sign. You want to take it with you?
Sure.
I need to put my pants on.
You can cross out a good sheet, put sheet 7 just to be perfectly clear.
Aaron,
yes.
Sign this one.
Request to sign this one.
Okay.
Is this the right pricing?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have three giant pillars in my yard.
All right, so our next unfinished business is the mini golf event.
I just give you the timeline so you can just take a look. And one of the things I didn't mention, I don't know if I have an extra one or not, more or less, so, is that one of the things that we discussed in the wrap-up meeting was that perhaps whoever, the library, might want to hire somebody, not like a company that would do what they do at Downers Grove, the $5,000, just somebody to get things to do it. I mean, to do the detail stuff. And we thought you could probably get somebody for $500, $700 just to act as the
chairperson.
Right.
They're the event coordinator.
But yep. You're not going to have a lot of volunteers from the Friends for any of the prep. That's what we couldn't get the last couple of years. You will have no difficulty getting volunteers the day of the event. That has never been an issue. Everybody loves doing it. Nobody likes doing things ahead of time. Doing, you know, the raffle stuff and all that. But anyhow, there's a timeline for you to look at. And I did put together, it's in our friend's closet. And I don't make a hard copy of everything, but it's like the budget. And just a list of who the sponsors were, who the raffle donors were, and then all of our newspaper clippings. Because John Etheridge from the Kendall County Record, the editor, has just been fantastic. We're always on the front page afterwards. And then also I have in the front a flash drive with all of the files for every single thing that's ever been printed. So
organized.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's there. You can tell them. Retired librarian. anyhow, it's there, and so if you are interested, it's all there, and it's in a container that I keep in the Friends closet that says mini golf fundraiser song. It's just all kinds of goodies. So there you have it, and it's up to you to decide. Yes?
I would assume that the person would be hired as an independent contractor.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what?
The person would be hired as an independent contractor.
I think that's up to you. You know, I've had people say, oh, why don't you get, like I said last time, why don't you get the Junior Women's Club to run it for you or something? And I go, wait a minute, this is a library thing. It's up to the library to decide whether you want someone internal or whether, I don't know. If that's,
well, unless we do it as a library position and have it time limited.
That's up to you all to decide how you see that, if you see it at all. And it doesn't have to be done the way it's been done in the past.
We could probably create some kind of an event coordinator that's a part-time position to do things like the golf, the mini golf, the ice cream social, whatever kinds of fundraising type events that the library wants to hold, and they could be the ones that would coordinate donors and things like that. I don't know.
You
it's
know,
an idea.
The library has a number of part-time staff.
Yeah, that's sure. What I was going to ask.
And people who have been involved with the mini golf for the last 6 years. There are
right.
a number of those people
yeah.
that have we've worked with, that have done things with us, that have some concept of
What needs to be done.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
What about the fundraising side, though? Isn't that a big part of it, getting the donors?
Getting the donors?
Right.
No, that's easy. I mean, relatively easy, because we've been doing it for 6 years.
Yeah.
They know
yeah.
us, and they
so
we
yes.
don't have to ask.
Is the person who's sending out the letters going to the store? So, say I'm part-time 20 hours. I would gladly pick up $500, $600, $700
right.
to work from September to January on something I helped with anyway
yep.
for years. So, like, and then when you have an ice cream social in August, I'll take $150 to coordinate that, and then at least it doesn't have to coordinate it. Like, it would be stipend,
yep.
right. but it would be great for it to be somebody who was either a Friends person or a library person.
Yep.
Not somebody who came from brand new outside of our
know
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
community. But I know, like, this is a job that you can do flexibly. So maybe I'm only part-time
kids.
Because I have kids.
Right.
Well, I can send letters
yeah,
from home.
My
and
wife does it for YEF, and it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, which is why we're compensating.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why we would be interested in compensating, because like she said, they've tapped the pool and nobody's
right.
going to do it anymore.
It's a lot of work. I think you're being modest.
It is a lot of work, but it is somewhat flexible. But that part that took a lot of my time was getting the raffle items, because I did have to go to one at a time visit, but I rarely was turned away. I almost always got something. And for one thing, we have a whole list now of people,
yes. Yes.
and it's all in the binder, it's all on the flash drive, everybody we've ever contacted. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm waiting.
I have a friend telling people to pick stuff up.
But yeah, it's getting the things and
organizing.
Publicity takes time,
yeah.
but it's all there's a boilerplate already there, you know, if you wanted to go that route again.
So I would say the only thing is, if it is somebody who is employed by the library, we'll have to be very careful about counting for the hours
yes.
that they're off-site working on it. So
mm-hmm.
we would have to put some strict guidelines as far as if we're only paying so much for this, they're only allowed to spend a certain amount of time per week
yes.
on that. So I think we could put it together. I would certainly rather offer it to the staff for those willing to pick up extra time to
right.
see if that's an option.
Some of the staff, you got to be careful they don't go over 19 hours.
Correct. Correct. For.
Because at 20, they're full time?
No, it's for
the
thing.
Well, there you
yep.
have it. It's you.
We have to make a decision.
I would make it hourly.
Yeah, I would make it
hourly. This job depends on the person. For
but
one person, this job is a certain number of hours. For a different person, it depends on how you work. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking about this for, what do you call it? The way you, like, education credits, like
right.
continuing education.
Right.
Yeah.
For some people, you're going to go into the course and we're like, well, this course is going to take 10 hours. And the lady's like, it takes some people 3.
Right.
So if you're paying by hour, some people are going to get way overpaid because it took them 3 hours. It's going to take another teacher 10, 15. Like, it depends. Somebody's going to take that book and be like, I'm going to sparse this out to some friends. I'm just the coordinator. You know what I mean? I'm going to ask some people to go and pick up things, so they may not spend that. I feel like this is a stipend. This is the sum for this job, not like spend 2 hours a week doing this, because you may not get done.
If they're an hourly employee, though, that would be non-exempt. That has to be counted for hourly, because we have to pay a fair wage. So the only way we could get through paying a flat rate is if they were a contracted person, and we pay a set rate versus an employee. Right, correct. But we couldn't use an employee for that, because they're on the payroll. So you can't have an employee as an outside contractor.
But you can't have them as a stipend. Like, it's not an hourly thing that you have.
No.
I mean, like, we get stipends for things, right? And we're contracted employees.
Are you salaried or hourly?
I'm salaried.
That's the difference.
That's what I'm saying. So you it's not that you're employed, it's that you're hourly versus salaried.
Right, correct.
And most of them are hourly, so.
But our hourly people, there are part-time people who take, like, coaching positions. That has a specific stipend. It is an amount. Doesn't matter how many hours you spend with these kids, you're only going to get this amount of money. Right? Isn't that something you could write? Like, we have people who are subs. They only get paid by the hour, but they can still get a stipend as well. I feel like there's got to be a way to write that. Like,
you have to create. Yeah,
you got to be very careful from a legal standpoint, just because if they come back and say they worked way more hours than they were paid for, you have to be able to defend your stance from a employment standpoint.
I understand that, but I know that you have to be able to write a stipend position. Like,
if that's their sole
position, you still get stuff taken from it, like pension and stuff like that, but it's not considered by hours. It's like, this job is this amount of money. Right. And it's just like season or how part of the year, but they do not count. With coaching, they were like, we do not want to count hours.
But were they also teachers, or were they just coaches? Was that all they did?
There are people who are just coaches. There are people who are like part-time subs, and then they also coach, so they get this stipend on top of their hourly rate as a substitute teacher or as a part-time teacher. So, like, I know we have to figure that out, but I think it would be important to figure it out, because this is probably best for a part-time person, but I think it would be too tricky to try and figure out how many hours a week you'd work on this.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. And you're right. It takes some people a very short amount of time, because they're very organized and they do things in a systematic way. Other people just, you know.
Well, some of these things won't take some... And then January, you're going to be like a crazy person.
Oh, yeah. You make up a calendar.
How are you going to do like 10 hours? You only worked 5 a week in September, but then you worked 20 a week in January.
I mean, this should make it easy right here. It's all my turn right here.
This plus the flash drive plus the bundle.
I mean, why
just don't leave.
The room is here.
Thank
you so much for moving that.
No, it's in. It's all in the binder and it's on the flash drive.
It makes it easy.
We do
have the torch. So
that's. You can think about it.
You want to come and revisit this again?
We need to investigate.
Thank you for all your hard work.
Yes.
Thank you. I love doing it. I loved doing it. And I hope that there's a way that it can continue.
Yeah.
But we will do our best to make sure it does.
Okay. All right. Next. E-rate discussion. E-rate stuff is... Okay, our E-rate consultant has prepared a couple of things for us. July 1st, the funding for 2020 opens. Did you get one of these, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the interim, what he did is he contacted Comcast, our current provider, and put together... That's the sheet. It's the color sheet. Yeah. What the cost would be to up what we currently have. The caveat to that is we wouldn't get any more reimbursement than what we're getting now, because we're changing something midstream, and the funding approval was based on the rates we have now. So if we went up to $499 a month, we would still get whatever it is we're getting now as a reimbursement. We'd we still get the 50% reimbursement, but at a new rate, it would have to wait until everything has been approved for next year. We're always a year behind.
Okay. So where are we right now?
So we're at... where are we? I think we're at the one in the middle, the 249, the 150 mega down and 20 up.
So we're getting we get 125 right now.
Right. So if we boosted our internet up to, we can go up to a gig on the coax that we have. Mm-hmm. It would cost us $500 a month, but we'd still be only reimbursed $125 until the funding is approved next year.
For 2020.
For 2020.
So we wouldn't see any pricing change until, is that...
The pricing would go up, but our reimbursement wouldn't.
But it... The is it effective January of 2020? Or?
It's effective whenever they approve the funding.
Okay.
Which should be toward the end of this year for 2020. So yeah, it would probably go. I'm pretty sure. I sent out an email with the timelines and when all that was. So I don't have it with me, but it's basically whenever USAC approves the funding for all the E-rate stuff. And then we would get that. The Form 470, which is the bid process for the Category 1, which is the internet service, David was going to put it out. That's this email page that I have with non-fiber quotes and leased fiber quotes. So we have Comcast fiber around here because the high school has it. I think the high school has a 10 gig connection into their school, and then it's distributed out at 1 gig to all the other schools, if I remember what my son-in-law told me way back when.
July 1st.
So July 1st is when he can put out the 470. And that will generate bids from all the providers that can provide us service. And then we can, from there, we can pick what we want based on costs and speeds that we want, or not do anything. Just because a kit went out and comes back, if we can't afford it, then we keep what we have. And we go forward with that. But this is good. He's going to have this ready to go on July 2nd, when the 470 opens up for bid. He'll put this out, and we don't really have to do anything other than approve it when the bids come back, and he'll send those all to me. I think I'll tell him to email Elisa as well with them.
So we have to wait until then.
We have to wait, yeah.
Okay. It's to get same. One of these?
Pardon?
We'll have
two 470s. Two Form 470s with two different bids on it, or two different requests for bid. One for the non-fiber, which is coax service like we have right now, which can go up to 1 gig. And the other would be fiber, which can go up to 10 gig if we want it. And it's dedicated. The difference between coax is you have that disparate upload-download speeds. Fiber, you get the same speed going up, going down. And you also, with the coax service, you have best effort, 8-hour response if there's a problem. With the fiber, you have... They will be here within 4 hours and have your service back up, if at all possible. Like if a pole burns down or something like that, and it takes them longer than that to get the fiber back up, then it'll take them longer. But their class of service says 4 hours, we'll have you back in business, or we'll give you a credit.
What is our network traffic like for your, I mean, to think about if we think about like a 10 gig or something like that, I mean, our network traffic is nowhere near that.
No, we wouldn't. It would be about $5,000 or $6,000, I think, for a 10 gig service.
Sure. Right, but yeah. What we're looking at right now, what is our traffic like? And then we are also talking about computer programs coming up that we want to do.
Right.
So what is the best option for us? Is the 1 gig down and the 35 meg up our best option for that, or what?
Probably would be.
I don't know. I mean, I even think we don't even have that many computers. So the way I look at bandwidth is if you think of a milkshake, right?
Yeah.
And a straw. So the straw is really the size of the bandwidth. A lot of people think is bandwidth is more like miles per hour or how fast your car's going down the lane. Mm-hmm. It's more like how wide that lane is, how much concurrent traffic you can handle. So even if we're running a computer class, I mean, we're probably not generating enough traffic to even saturate. I would say we'd be hard-pressed to saturate a 500 meg connection with the size we have. So,
yeah.
I mean, as I look at this pricing right here, that's kind of the sweet spot. If we're at the, you think we're at the 150
we're
at, by 20?
We're at the 150.
So at 150, you can go up to 500, which is, what, tripling it?
$399, $400 bucks.
For $150 a month, that's a good deal. Whereas I think your gains going from 500 to a gig are going to be fairly minimal, judging by the traffic. The other thing I would ask is if Comcast can provide us utilization on our circuit. I don't know if their modem is tracking. I know they track bandwidth used per day, but I don't know if they're tracking how the amount of time that our router is being pinned at that 150 right now, because that will help us see.
Yeah, do they intentionally slow down the pipeline? Just
Yes. Well, no, they do from the respect of our current pipeline to them can handle a gig.
Yeah.
So what they do is they pre-program your modem to be able to deliver the speed at what you're paying. So yes, from that respect, they are intentionally slowing it down.
Right.
Based on what you pay. So
I was just wondering, like, time of day, if the network traffic area
No.
is...
Well, maybe that can be a factor, but it's not as much anymore as it used to be. So.
Yeah. The other difference between the coax and the fiber is the coax, you're sharing bandwidth with pretty much everybody in the neighborhood.
Right, that's why I was wondering.
And the fiber is your pipe, right. Period.
Because at certain peak times, like at the high school,
you may, you know what I'm saying,
if this area is like, you know.
Everybody's watching
the thing. The high school, the high school's on fiber.
Okay.
So they're not even on our network. Yeah.
You're feeling real slow after 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
But you can tell when a lot of people are using it at the same time. But it must be all of us all using it. But
that can also be more than just the internet circuit. So their Wi-Fi network has its own capacity.
Sure.
Their switches have their own capacity. So your traffic goes at the slowest point on the chain. So, for example, if their internet's 10 gig, but their Wi-Fi is getting saturated and is full, that's going to slow it down, regardless of how big of an internet circuit you have. So, now, I know we talked about taking the Wi-Fi upgrade to E-rate. Does that have to be in at the same time, or
that's got a different timeline to it? But it's coming up real soon here too, after July 1st.
Okay.
We can identify what we want. We can identify the type of equipment we want.
Okay.
We can specify we want this equipment. But we only get a 50% reimbursement because that's what the school district gets. And we got to pay the bill up front.
So do we have to do an RFP to them?
No, they do the quotes.
Okay.
And they return them to us, and then we pick from those quotes.
The Wi-Fi?
The Wi-Fi equipment.
Okay.
So,
or we don't pick from those quotes.
Or we don't pick from those quotes, and we just go along about our merry way. Or if we decide we want to do it and we don't want to set it out to E-rate, we just buy what we want and put it in.
Mm-hmm. And can that quote include the cabling
It can include the cabling as well as the hardware to upgrade the Wi-Fi. Right now, the Wi-Fi, I agree, it's horrible in here because it's 9 years old.
The other thing is talking about that bandwidth. I mean, the newer technologies, we can control how much bandwidth an individual person uses,
right.
which will help manage that for everybody. So I think that's an important piece to look at along with this.
Yeah.
So if we know the date, I mean, we just got to figure out what we want to ask for. Do we have to specify count location of the access points?
No. Okay. We need to tell them how many.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. So we probably want to...
I believe we've got 8 up there right now.
Okay.
I think there's 3 on the second floor and 5 on the first floor and 1 here.
Do we have like a map of those?
Yeah.
Or?
Okay. It's up in the computer room.
Okay.
And the one down here is not in an ideal location. It's in that office. Should be upstairs.
And that's not even on the same...
Yeah, so it's not the same network.
But is it managed the same?
No.
Okay.
They're not managed. They're just basic Linksys, PoE, PoE access points at 11 meg.
We got some dead zones in the library, like back on tech services.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is...
The newer equipment has better coverage.
Better coverage, and these aren't managed, which means they actually fight with each other. So the closer you get to these, the more interference they call. When they're managed, the access points actually talk to each other and help manage how they hand off devices to each other and how well they work with each other.
Yeah.
So, all right, so if you... can find the date on that. We probably want to put something together as far as what we want to ask for.
Yeah.
And I think
we can do
that. I don't think it's, I mean, I think it's good to have this, but I think we look at this along with the Wi-Fi. And especially now that we see what our development funds are coming in as, because one of the things we had talked about is if our development funds are coming in high, we'll have a better ability to address that this year.
But don't we need to get... Okay, so I thought you were saying that we need to get other people to tell us what they would charge us to get this 500 down, 35 up. Is that not what we were saying earlier before we started talking about Wi-Fi?
That
you wanted to get bids for how much...
That would be, we have to do the bidding process starting July 1st.
Okay.
I'm not suggesting that we up our speed right this minute.
Right.
To 500, because we'll only get reimbursed for it until the next funding year gets approved. And then we would get the higher rate. But to get that higher rate, we have to do... the bidding process.
Okay. Right.
Because we may get it cheaper. Metronet may come in here and say, we'll give it to you for half that. We'll give you a gig for $500.
But we could do any of these at any time, but we won't get any higher of a discount over the $125.
Yeah, that I understand. Right. I just felt like we were trying to decide which level to bid out.
No, it's... This is basically the wording he'll use.
Yep.
Okay, and they'll give us the full list.
List just like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I would say, though, is along with that, if we are able to do the Wi-Fi this year, then it might make sense for us for a few months at the end of the year to bump up our circuit to coincide with the Wi-Fi so that we can publicize we have faster Wi-Fi and be able to take advantage of that, because we wouldn't want to fix the Wi-Fi, still have a slow internet connection, and not really be able to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah. And then we can always, once the E-rate information comes back next year, we're only out, if we do 2 months of it, we're only out $300 for the year.
All right.
And then we can go with the E-rate for next year. So I think it's just arming us with the knowledge as we, you know, push forward with the Wi-Fi side of it. We have options now without waiting for the new E-rate rates.
Cool. So would they provide then the quote for the Wi-Fi equipment? Is that awesome?
They can.
They can, but he's saying that has a different date. So
it has a different date. I'm trying to find out when that is. But I'll find out.
Okay.
Ask David when that is. And all we do is say we either want Meraki equipment, or we want Aerohive equipment, or we want Ubiquity equipment,
Aruba.
Or Aruba, or HP. But whatever. We can tell them specifically what equipment we want, or we can just open it up. We want managed Wi-Fi at this speed with these specifications. Mm-hmm. So, and obviously PoE and all the fun acronyms that everybody understands.
Yeah. Are we going to power anything over Ethernet?
Yeah, we're gonna. We have to. All right, because we got no way to power it any other way.
Yeah.
So, any other questions? Okay, that's all I got.
Okay. Let's move on to the strategic plan review and discussion.
Okay. So I think the only thing we did for this week, and I apologize, I wasn't able to get it as part of the packet, but I did type up our objectives that we discussed last week, so the ones Elisa provided, as well as the couple that came up during our conversation. Basically, I wrote what objectives they're aligning under and kind of the goal number with each of those objectives, so you can see we do have a pretty good distribution across kind of the strategic objectives, but there's no new information here. This is all what was discussed last week. I think the thought was to approve this as our 2019 goals for fiscal year 2020 to move forward with. So, yes?
I just have one question on the established One New Community Partnership for Public Programming.
Yep.
What I wanted to show the board all the partnerships that we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to possibly change that to continue and develop community partnership rather than saying one.
The goal needs to be measurable. So if we're just continuing, that's not really... I mean, what's going to be our metric if we succeed or fail on that? That's the only point. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we want to maintain everything that we're currently doing, but I think the thought was based on, I believe, Wemeka had talked about engaging partners to help with some programming in the library that's not necessarily utilizing library resources.
Well, certainly one is doable.
Yeah.
Yes. We made. I'm just saying all the things I was thinking of are on the list already.
Yeah.
It's just kind of hard.
So.
We may have to regenerate the Play-Doh. Cross lane.
Sure.
Well, I say motion to approve the strategic.
Do we want, before we do that, do we want to replate now that we've actually.
Oh, we moved
completed the digital sign.
It's still got to be installed.
No, yeah, well, we still have to purchase it.
And funded.
Well, it's funded.
In City
it's
Hall.
It's approved, but City Hall has to approve it.
Right.
But, you know, what's here other than implement? And do we want to replace that? Do we want to? Because we discussed it several months ago. And.
Yeah.
About doing some feasibility about changing all the lights in the library to LED, and looking for grants that could accomplish that. And I think didn't you talk to the city and they wanted to?
Bart said they might be interested. I know that my facility group is a number of libraries that have replaced the lights.
Yeah. Because I mean, we get free electricity. Well, not free electricity, but we get. Some electricity from ComEd,
mm-hmm.
But if we can extend what we get and don't pay for, that's even all the better.
There's going to be a large output, though, with replacing all the light bulbs?
Well, that's why we would look for grants. I know there are grants out there to do public buildings to replace all their lights with LED, because we spent a lot of money on replacing the lights. Because we've got, I think, 11 different light types in the building.
Wow. You got your bill for light bulbs.
And it's constant. I mean, with the different with the problems with the HVAC system, we have the same problem with the lights.
I mean, we can add it as a goal and investigate it. I don't know that it necessarily needs to take one off to add it.
Right.
I mean, there's no set amount. Yeah. We set that. Yeah,
we can approve what we have here and then add it later.
Or we could continue exploring it, not necessarily add it as a goal. I mean,
sure.
We have more than welcome to discuss. It would roll up under strategic objective 4 as far as financial responsibility.
Yeah.
It's up to the group. Yeah. If we want to add it.
It's $309.20 for light bulbs.
Yeah.
I'd say not to add it as a goal, but to continue the discussion.
Yeah.
Even if we're able to investigate it, I don't see us necessarily being able to implement it this year, just from the scope of what's involved. And
yeah.
I've been part of those discussions before, and I, you know, what you would think would be as simple as you have to account for, like you said, all the different fixture types and whether or not they have ballasts and whether or not your replacement bulbs can work with ballasts or, you know, you need to rewire it. It's... So I would say maybe we actually put that on the facility or the facility committee to continue to talk through that.
Yeah.
And if they feel we hit a point where we need to add it to next year's goals to make it happen, then we can.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about the computer classes. Do we feel that the internet will be improved so that we can do the classes within the next year?
I think we could. I mean, because if we get everything lined up to be able to do the classes, then we can look at if we really do need to bump the internet speed up to accommodate that. We could have that discussion. Or at the very least, improve the Wi-Fi in the area of the building that we're running the classes. Or
Are you gonna Wi-Fi those computers? Or how did we buy the computers from backorder? I remember that now.
We have the computers now.
Yeah.
So the computers have come in. Are we hardwiring those, or are we?
Their laptop.
Yeah. So they'd be Wi-Fi.
My laptop. My husband hardwires his laptop. He wants top speed when he's working.
I know. Mine does too.
He does not play with Wi-Fi. So I didn't know because it's a class whether or not you were going to. Wi-Fi or hardwire for the class. I know sometimes they're in a station so that you can put them into Ethernet, you know, to give them the best reception. Because I would say then you definitely should up your internet.
I'm assuming your class would be held here.
I would say don't let the technology hold you back from moving forward with that.
Yeah.
If we hit a point where we have the instructor lined up and the topics ready to go, we'll fix the technology.
Okay.
I don't foresee any problem we can't overcome relatively easily or quickly. Yeah. Yeah.
So then, motion to approve the strategic plan as written.
I'll second.
Garcia?
Yes.
Hedman?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And then we'll have an update on the website as well, right? And some of the other ones there. So you have to get that one. What is the website?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
With the goals?
Not the goals, sorry.
The values, not the goals.
Yeah.
All right. So, just to move on to new business. Nomination of office. So,
I nominate Derek for president.
Thank you.
Is it time for that already?
Yeah, I
believe it was last summer?
Yeah, every.
Crazy. The year's gone fast.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, it has.
I am willing to stay on as president. Or I don't know how everybody else feels, but Mecca and as secretary and Michigan as our treasurer.
I'm willing to stay as well.
Okay. Are there any others that want to go for office?
He's like,
yeah. Okay.
Did they tell you it's for life?
What? Right here, 2021.
So, okay. Well,
see you, my kids,
that's,
so do we vote next?
Next month.
Next month.
Next month.
All right.
Okay. My last one graduates there. Give you that graduating next year.
It's just the list of the community partnerships to the board for review.
Great list.
Okay. Let's see. So I don't see any reason to go into executive session, so I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Everybody in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.